नमः वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यम्। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 12 चैप्टर 17 text number 18 17 to 23 so we'll read the verses from 17 then chant the verse number 23 athapi upayo mam devi chintaya santoshita shaya vrata charya yate mam archanam narhati gandam anyatha shuddhanurupam phalahetu kavat translation Yet because I have been satisfied by the activities of your vow, O Goddess Aditi, I must find some means to favor you for worship of me never goes in vain, but certainly gives the desired result according to what one deserves. It's number 18. Toya archita chaham apatya guptaye payo vrate na anugunam samiditaha swamshena putratvam upat. ते सुतान गोपास्त गोप्तास्मि मारिच तपसि अधिष्ठितः ट्रांसलेशन यू हैव प्रेड टू मी एंड प्रॉपरली वर्शिप मी बाय परफॉर्मिंग द ग्रेट पयोव्रत सेरेमनी फॉर द सेक ऑफ प्रोटेक्टिंग योर सन्स बिकॉज ऑफ कश्यप मुनि'स ऑस्टेरिटीज आई शैल अग्री टू बिकम योर सन एंड दस प्रोटेक्ट योर अदर सन्स उपधावापतिं भद्रे प्रजापतिं अकल्मषं मां च भावयन्ति पत्याव एव रूपं एवं रूपं अवस्थितं ट्रांसलेशन ऑलवेज थिंकिंग ऑफ मी एज बीइंग सिचुएटेड विद इन द बॉडी ऑफ योर हस्बैंड कश्यप गो वर्शिप योर हस्बैंड हु हैज बीन प्यूरिफाइड बाय हिज ऑस्टेरिटी नैतत् परस्म आख्येयं पृष्ठयापि कथंचन सर्वं संपद्यते देवी देवगुह्यं सुसंवृतम् ओ लेडी इवन इफ सम इंक्वायर्स यू शुड नॉट डिस्क्लोज दिस फैक्ट टू एनीवन दैट विच इज वेरी कॉन्फिडेंशियल इज सक्सेसफुल इफ केप्ट सीक्रेट श्री शुक उवाच एतावत् उक्त्वा भगवान् तत्रैव अंतरधीयत अदितिर्दुर्लभम लब्ध्वा हरेर्जन्मात्मनि प्रभो उपधावात् पतिं भक्त्या परया कृतकृत्यवत् ट्रांसलेशन शुकदेव गोस्वामी सेड आफ्टर स्पीकिंग इन दिस वे द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हैड डिसअपीयर्ड फ्रॉम इट वेरी स्पॉट अदिति हैविंग रिसीव्ड एक्सट्रीमली वैल्युएबल बेनेडिक्शन that the Lord would appear as her son, considered herself very successful. And with great devotion, she approached her husband. Savai samadhi yogena kashyapastat abhudyata pravishtam atmani harer amsham hi avitata ikshanaha. Being situated in a meditational trance, Kashyap Muni, whose vision is never mistaken, could see that a plenary portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead had entered within him. Text number 23, please repeat. Saha Tam Viryam Adatta Tapasa Chira Sambritam Samahita Manarajan Daryanya Agnim Yathanilaha Sa Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, O King, as the wind promotes friction between two pieces of wood and thus gives rise to fire, Kashyap Muni, whose transcendental position was fully absorbed in the Supreme Personality of God, had transferred his potency into the womb of Aditi. Purport. As forest fire begins when two pieces of wood rub against one another, being agitated by the wind. Actually, however, fire belongs neither to the wood nor the wind. It is always different from both. Similarly, here it is to be understood that the union of Kashyap Muni and Aditi was not like the sexual intercourse of ordinary human beings. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has nothing to do with the human secretions of sexual intercourse. It is always completely aloof from such material combinations. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9.21, Samaham Sarva Bhuteshu, I am equal toward all living entities, nonetheless to protect the devotees and kill the demons who are a disturbing element, the Lord entered the womb of Aditi. Therefore, this is a transcendental pastime of the Lord. This should not be misunderstood. One should not think that the Lord became the son of Aditi the way an ordinary child is born because of sexual intercourse between man and woman. Here it may also be appropriate to explain in these days of controversy the origin of life. The life force of the living entity, the soul, is different from the ovum and the semen of the human being. Although the conditioned soul has nothing to do with the reproductive cells of man and woman, he is placed into the proper situation because of his work. Karmana Deva Netrena. Life is not, however, a product of two secretions, but is independent of all material elements. As fully described in the Bhagavad Gita, the living entity is not subject to any material reactions. He can neither be burned by fire, cut by sharp weapons, moistened by water, nor dried by the air. He is completely different from the physical elements, but by a superior arrangement he is put into these material elements. He is always aloof from the material contact, asangoyam ayam purusha. But because he is placed in a material condition, he suffers the reactions of the material modes of nature. Purusha prakritisto hi bhungte prakriti jan gunan karanam gunasangasya sadasad yoni janmasu. The living entity in the material nature thus follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus he meets with the good and evil amongst various species. Bhagavad Gita 13.22. Although the living entity is aloof from the material elements, he is put into material conditions and thus he must suffer the reactions of material activities. Adityam viryam adhatta tapasa chira samritam samahita manarajan daruni agnim yatha anilaha. O king, as the wind promotes friction between two pieces of wood and thus gives rise to fire, Kashyap Muni, whose transcendental position was fully absorbed in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, transferred his potency into the womb of Aditi. This is quite half of the canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam of canto 8 revolves more around Bali Maharaj. And every person has a history, and more than the future, the history is studied in the Srimad Bhagavatam more deeply than what the consequences aftermath or afterwards, because consequences are directly related to the history. The future has a deep connection with the past. Therefore, it is the past or the foundation which is more critical in the Srimad Bhagavatam than the present or the future. And therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam constantly reminds aspiring sadhaka in Krishna consciousness to go back to his foundation, that too deeply again and again. And here it is also not just the Srimad Bhagavatam not only explains what is the good history, but rather the bad history also is discussed, so as to clearly distinguish the results of a poorly laid foundation or a carelessly laid foundation or a strong, solid foundation. The third kind of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is the same, it is similar pastime with respect to Kashyap, who is the great controlled sage who has two wives, Diti and Aditi. And it is Diti and Aditi which can be contrasted with respect to this pastime, because the process was the same. The persons involved were of a similar nature, the relationship was similar, but the consequences were different because of the consciousness. And it is consciousness which is the foundation, which is more critical than any other externals. So if you contrast just how Diti approaches Kashyap and how Aditi approaches Kashyap, Diti is afflicted with sensual desires and wants to use her husband to satisfy her own. But she has also forgotten the means to achieve those sensual happiness too. She employs unconventional methods to achieve those sensual satisfaction, as opposed to dharma, as opposed to principles of religion. She knows the consequences, but yet she continues to be driven by impulses. Therefore, Diti is impulsive. Diti is not introspective. She is just carried away by the impulse, and therefore she seeks illusory protection from her husband to satisfy her sensual desires. When someone is impulsive, he is always wants to protect his or her agenda for the same. So, illusion tries to create a condition whereby his desires are protected by any onslaught of a failure to satisfy such desires. And because one is in a mode of illusory protection and trying to justify one's conditionings, typically, then there is indiscipline. And Diti approaches and literally forces her husband out of his meditation, his trance. Does not even persevere, does not even wait for the husband to come out of his meditative trance, and disturbs her husband from a sacred act of devotional service to satisfy her own paltry material desires. Therefore, impulse leads to illusory protection, and illusory protection leads to indiscipline. And then what you find is that Kashyap Muni, even though having won Diti, she could not heed those warnings. Therefore, instead of the same combination, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyakasharpa. And here, Aditi is waiting for her husband to come out of the trance. Though she is disturbed by the loss of her son's kingdom, she is not impatient. She is patient, she is perseverant, she is self-controlled. She knows the result of being self-controlled. She knows the value of self-control. She waits for her husband to come back out of the trance, and she does not approach her husband in an aggressive way. She approaches her husband in a very sober and a gentle way. And then she does not even say something. She just expresses her emotions, and it is understood by Kashyap Muni that her wife is in some difficulty. Sometimes we think that if we voice out our opinions and our needs and our demands, then they shall be fulfilled. And if we just remain quiet, no one will hear to us. That is the typical agenda of the material world. The material world works in such a way that everyone voices out their demands, and then they want to get it fulfilled. But in spiritual life, this doesn't work all the more easily. And then, after her expression, Kashyap Muni only asks Aditi, that are you lacking in your religiosity? Did you falter to receive any guests because of your intense attachment to family members? You were neglectful. Did you not follow the ritualistic sacrifices? Were you neglectful of the sacrifices that were performed? What was the cause of a dissatisfaction? And then Aditi remarks to Kashyap Muni in a very submissive way and puts her problem that her sons have lost their heavenly realm and they have been separated from her. Kashyap Muni remarks, alas, how this affection is so illusory that she is disturbed or lamenting because of her attachment to the sons. And then it's like, you know, it's like indirectly telling to Aditi that there is no need for lamentation. You don't have to lament. Krishna also says the same thing to Arjun. Sochananva sochastam. You are lamenting for what is not worthy of lamentation. And Dhruva Maharaj also is being told by Narada Muni the same thing. Why do you lament for such a small insult? Just go back. Just forget all these things. This is not so serious. It's not serious in spiritual life. Losing our attachments in spiritual life is absolutely not worthy of lamentation. Mahaprabhu is to lament that he is not feeling any attachment, any intense, ecstasy while chanting the names of the Lord. That was his lamentation. But then here, Dhruva also was told that Dhruva was insistent. And therefore, Narada Muni said, okay, I give this mantra. So when the disciple is not ready, the spiritual master gives the middle path. Does not give the direct path, but gives the middle path in between indirect and direct. Right. And therefore, Narada Muni allowed Dhruva to execute his austerities because he also wanted to. Dhruva wanted to not only get the kingdom, but also wanted to actually show his supremacy to Suruchi and his son and her sons, and wanted to express his envy. Like we're just discussing that Srila Prabhupada was, when he got the telegram that Mr. N had died from a heart attack, Srila Prabhupada rejoiced. And Prabhupada said, feast for devotees. So ordinarily we would think that Prabhupada was ecstatic because of Mr. N's departure. But Srila Prabhupada was more so happy that Sri Sri Radha Rasbiri had now finally regained their lost home. That was his ecstasy. Otherwise, Srila Prabhupada would not have gone back to Mrs. N and consoled her. Though a devotee becomes happy when a snake is dead, when envious person has been defeated, has been absolved, the devotee nevertheless is still compassionate. But here, Aditi also having a similar request. She also wants the kingdom for her sons, but she wants also the mothers of the demons to lament. And that's why Kashyap Muni is lamenting. Because it's not just that she wants her sons back, she also wants to see others misery, in misery. But then Aditi is submissively insistent. But Aditi was insistively arrogant. Right? That was the difference. Therefore, seeing her weakness of attachment, attachment was bad, of course. That was a sign of weakness. But it was not negative. It was not negatively devotional. It was simply an obstacle which could have been surmounted by this proper attitude. Diti also had her attachment. Aditi also had her attachment. But the way that she expressed, both of them expressed their attachment, that attitude was very critical. The way that one expresses that weakness is that they don't want to justify that weakness, but they want to overcome that weakness. And therefore submissiveness. And finally, Aditi was in the mood of surrender to Kashyap Muni. She finally surrendered to what Kashyap Muni said, how to perform the Payavrat sacrifice. Therefore, this glaringly shows the attitude of a disciple as contrast to being Diti's, a Diti disciple is a Guru Bhogi disciple. He sees the Guru and he sees, how can I get more from my Guru? How can I get from him? How can I be in his mood of impulsiveness, in his mood of getting illusory protection from the spiritual master, behaving as if one is very dependent and very, very forlorn? But his real expression is that of his own sensual satisfaction, his own personal satisfaction. Therefore, his approach is Guru, seeking illusory protection. And therefore, even if Guru gives good instructions, he cannot, those instructions don't sit on his heart, and therefore leads to indiscipline. But then, of course, if the Guru Sevi disciple, even though he is ridden with weaknesses and attachment, if he is self-controlled, if he is submissive, and if he is surrendered, his weakness of attachment will be rectified, as in this case. And there will be proper instructions will be given to such a disciple who will be able to follow those instructions. Therefore, the ability to follow the instructions is dependent upon one's attitude of selflessness. Even though we may not desire something directly for ourselves, sometimes we may want something good for our family members, or devotees, or who are our fellow God brothers or God sisters. But therefore, even though there is some selfish tinge in that selflessness too, that is purified by following the instructions. And therefore here, when the Supreme Lord has appeared before Aditi, the Lord is insisting upon Aditi that she must follow her husband. She must follow the instructions as he has given, and also follow and devotedly worship Kashyap. And therefore, when we pray to Krishna, Krishna does not fulfill our desires. Krishna sends us to the bona fide devotee of the Lord to fulfill our desires through the instructions given by that devotee. Therefore, there is no bypass. There is no bypassing the spiritual master. Therefore, it's said in previous verses in the purport by Srila Prabhupada that when Aditi was, when requested by the Lord, in fact, Shukadeva Goswami said, after Aditi was advised by her husband, Kashyap Muni, to follow the instructions without laziness, Prabhupada writes in the purport that for advancement in anything, Prabhupada said clearly, for advancement in anything, especially in spiritual life, one must strictly follow the bona fide instructions of the teacher. Now this is true even for material skills. Aditi did this. She strictly followed the instructions of her husband and guru, and as confirmed the Vedic injunctions, yasya deve para bhaktir yatha deve tatha gurau, one should have complete faith in the guru who helps the disciple make progress in spiritual life. As soon as the disciple thinks independently, not caring for the instructions of the spiritual master, he is a failure. Yasya prasadan na gati kutopi. Sugriva and Hanuman also could be contrasted in that way, as being Guru Bhogi and Guru Sevi. Sugriva saw Lord Ram as not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but saw him as a tool or an instrument to regain his own kingdom from Vali. Therefore, the way he saw his Guru, or way he saw Lord Ram, way he saw Lord Ram, determined his course of his consciousness. He saw Lord Ram as an ally. He saw Lord Ram as a friend in need. As people say, a friend in need is friend indeed. But that is not true in spiritual circles, all the more, right? That might cause difficulty or confusion. Therefore, Sugriv disrespected Lord Ram, as commented by some Sri Vaishnava Acharyas. That therefore, when he met Lord Ram, first of all, he shook hands with Lord Ram, thinking as one of his equals. Then he made Lord Ram sit, and he sat next to Lord Ram. Instead of he being subservient to Lord Ram, he saw himself a little superior to Lord Ram. And then he did not respect Lakshman by offering him a sitting place. And therefore, as it happened this way, Hanumanji recognized In fact, Hanumanji, even when he first saw Lord Ram, his feelings of devotion and service were awakened. He was sober, gentle in his speech, and therefore he was self-controlled. He was submissive to the will of Lord Ram and Lakshman especially. And he was surrendered even when Jamvan said, you have to jump, you can jump. He just made that effort. Therefore, Sugriv did not have faith in the Lord and also did not have faith in the Lord's representative. And therefore, he forgot to follow the instructions. Instructions are there for everyone, but we forget sometimes because of our attitude. Attitude of impulsive behavior, attitude of illusory protection and indiscipline. So this is very glaringly here visible. And here the Lord is appearing in the womb of Aditi. In fact, before, outside the womb of Aditi, and is requesting Aditi not to say this secret to anyone. Sometimes in devotional circles also, there are some secrets, some confidentiality. If they simply are blurted out, they cause very disharmonious relationships amongst devotees. Therefore, one has to be very tactful to be confidential in the service of the Lord. In fact, there is a very interesting story from the Mahabharata, the pastime from Mahabharata, linking various exploits of Arjun. Which will see how a devotee can actually look into an opportunity amongst calamity. And here the disciple has to have these kind of criteria which Arjun had. When they were in exile, the Pandavas, it was Yudhishthir Maharaj and everyone. In fact, all the Pandavas had a pact that each one of them could be with Draupadi for a time. And then there would be no other husbands would be allowed to violate their privacy. And if anyone would do that, he would be exiled. Or he would be abstained from any association with Draupadi for a year. And he will go in exile, basically, far off from Draupadi. Away in exile. So it was a time when Yudhishthir Maharaj was in the private chamber along with Draupadi, and a Brahmana came at that time shrieking for help, and it was his cows that were stolen by the thieves. Arjun could not bear to fulfill that request of the Brahmana as he was a Kshatriya, so he immediately decided to help the Brahmana, but he realized that the weapons were in the private chambers of Yudhishthir Maharaj, in the weapons chest. He thought for a time what to do. Should he just ignore and just not enter Yudhishthir Maharaj's chamber when he was alone with Draupadi? Or should he just fulfill that responsibility? Now here there was a dichotomy, here there was a duality. The two options for Arjun, he could have just ignored fulfilling the vow amongst the agreed vow amongst the five Pandavas and just ignore his responsibility, or he would have to enter the private chamber of Yudhishthir Maharaj, get the weapons and fight and just go into exile. Arjun did not take a time to make that decision. Because Arjun was a devotee of responsibility. He knew what his responsibility was. He was not confused about his responsibility. Therefore, his responsibility was the first criteria. Then to see the current or to see the previous conditions or to see the previous or the background basically. So Arjun just entered the private chambers of Yudhishthir Maharaj, and Yudhishthir Maharaj welcomed Arjun and said, what is the problem? Oh yes, there is a Brahmana who has come and he needs protection, I need the weapons. And Arjun goes directly to the weapons chest, takes the weapons and goes and attacks the thieves and gets the cows back from the Brahmanas. Arjun comes back and he does not say, now I'll tell you what happened actually. What did Arjun do? Arjun said, I'm ready, I'm going to go for the exile now. I'm going to the exile now. And there was no justifying, pleading that, you know, exception, emergency, urgency, please consider. None of that thing. None of that thing. He had responsibility, but along with responsibility, he had integrity. He was completely in the integrity with his promise. He remembered both of that. But first came responsibility and then came integrity. Immediately Arjun left despite request from Yudhishthira Maharaj. And then when he went, he decided to go on pilgrimage. Then he went to the Ganges, north ways. And he happened to go and bathe in the Himalayas, bathe in the Ganga. And as he was bathing in the Ganga, he was pulled down as if by strong force and current. And he met with Ulupi. And Ulupi requested Arjun to fulfill her desires. And Arjun said, you know, I have taken this vow. And then Ulupi said that's only their vow with your wife and not with any other maiden. You can fulfill my request. Otherwise, I shall give up my life. Arjun fulfilled her request, and Ulupi was, as she was sending back Arjun back to the surface on the banks of the Ganga, she gave Arjun a benediction that he will be invincible in water henceforward. He would be unconquerable in water. He will get aquatic powers, basically. There are terrestrial powers, there are extraterrestrial, and there is aquatic also. So he got aquatic powers. And Arjun just went northward to the Himalayas. He happened to see the sages. Of course, went Chitrangada, married Chitrangada, the daughter of King Chitravahan in Manipur. And then he went more eastwards, and actually he saw this Brahmins and rishis who were on the bank of the five lakes, but they were not able to approach that lake because that lake was infested with crocodiles. And then Arjun requested, this lake was inhabited by sage Agastya in the past, but now it has been infested with crocodiles, very dangerous crocodiles. So Arjun, in order to fulfill the request of the Brahmanas to able to again restore the purity of these five lakes, entered in the waters, and as soon as he was entering the waters, he remembered Ulupi's benediction, and he got the aquatic powers to fight these crocodiles, and he just took these crocodiles up in the on the bank and just hit that crocodile on the shore, and immediately an apsara appeared. Forget the name of the apsara, going to remembers. Vareha, something like that. Vareha, some apsara's name. Vareha, something like that. She was the apsara who was cursed because she and her four friends happened to go to this place, and they saw the Brahmanas and rishis who were very illustrious in their power, in their divinity, that they actually shone in brilliance and in exuberance of divinity, that they became intensely attracted to these Brahmanas and sages. And they decided to allure these Brahmanas and sages away from the meditation and wanted to entice these sages. Immediately the Brahmanas, realizing this motive, cursed these apsaras to become crocodiles. And that's how Arjun later goes to the heavens, and we all know the story of how Indra sends Urvashi to satisfy Arjun. But Arjun says, you're actually as good as Sachi or Kunti, because you're the wife of my ancestor, King Pururava. How can I see you in this respect? And Arjun bows his head in respect to Urvashi, who had really come with great desire to fulfill her sensual desires. But then Arjun literally refused Urvashi, who became so angry. Arjun knew that Urvashi is going to get angry. He knew all that thing because he was not just responsible but with integrity, but he also had character. And character means able to resist temptations despite whatever adverse the consequences could be. And therefore, when Arjun was cursed by Urvashi to become a eunuch for a lifespan of 1 year, he came back to Indra asking, I didn't mean anything. I mean, it was you who sent. So now you tell me what is to be done now. What to do with this curse? So sometimes when we follow some authorities and we have some difficulties and we actually fail, so what we should do? We should go back to the authority. What to do with this failure? And now when this authority will give you the proper perspective, how to see that failure despite following that instruction, or probably even reputed by that authority in that way, you're going to probably adverse result. So what to do now? You have to be a little patient, a little introspective, and not lose your character in that moment. And Arjun, immediately when he resolved to his character and he approached the right authority, what did he get? What did he understand? Or what did he realize? He realized the opportunity in that great calamity. He realized that 1 year of curse to be a eunuch would be a great benediction for Arjun. That would save himself from being recognized in incognito. And therefore, when Arjun had the right character and approached to the right authority, he realized that was an opportunity. Therefore, in Krishna consciousness, it is so important to go that long way. Chira sambratam, as it is explained here. Tapasya chira sambratam. For a long, long time. Especially if we have not performed the tapasya for a long, long time. For those who have performed the tapasya for a long, long time, they can show us the vision. That yes, this may be inconceivable to us right now, but it's a great opportunity. So therefore, responsibility, integrity, character and authority brings opportunity in great calamity. And this is how a disciple can actually make progress from being Guru Bhogi to Guru Sevi and following the footsteps of such great souls like Arjun, Hanuman and Aditi. Though she had weaknesses, she approached the right authority in the right mood, the right attitude, and this is how the Lord agreed to become the son who would actually cheat Bali Maharaj, but in a way that he would glorify Bali Maharaj, his own devotee. So therefore, Aditi became an instrument for glorifying Bali Maharaj. Though she actually expressed her envy, Krishna purified her by actually allowing herself, or purified her by directing her to follow her husband. Therefore, it is only through the medium of the spiritual master that one can become purified and be able to follow the instructions of the spiritual master and even become an opportunist in a pessimist condition. So this is small. In fact, with all of that, there was a small realization that when I had gone to Sri Rangam, and then we were actually very tied up, but we happened to go for the darshan in the morning, and then there was a short queue as we were going in the Garbhagriha. Then there was even the inside chambers. Before the inside chambers, there was outside the rectangle where actually one goes in the queue inside. Just behind us, there was a family who was with two kids, young kids, 2 years, 3 years old. Two kids. One of them was crying very wildly at 6 o'clock, 6:15 in the morning. Very peaceful. People were like half awake, half asleep. You know, generally people come to the darshan. It is not the standard waking time of people. So our people were just waiting for the darshan, and then this child was crying so loudly. There was an attendant or employee or a devotee or whatever that person was inside, and he was actually in front of Ranganath and trying to get people come in and come out of the darshan queue. So these people were just opposite. They had to go complete a sea and then go inside and then come out. So they're just opposite. There are just at least 50 people before them in the queue. And this child was crying all the more violently as he was coming closer. So immediately the attendant said, send these people ahead. Bring them ahead immediately. And they all, everyone was told that, no, and that child kept crying also. You know, child kept, stopped crying. If it stopped crying, then that lady would have been told, stop there. Or the people wouldn't have allowed her to go ahead. So they allowed her to come, and the child kept crying all the way till inside. Made sure they got very early entry, very, very quick entry. And they, the child kept crying, and they went, and we're all seeing immediately, just, this is called, people were paying 50 rupees, 100 rupees for fast darshans, right? But this was all the more very cheap. This was faster than the fastest, because actually both of them queue came in one single queue, and finally all of them had to come here. But this was even much more special darshan queue than any other darshan. So basically I was just reflecting that if we actually cry and not chant, if we cry as we chant, then probably Krishna will send, or maybe Krishna will not send. Krishna's devotee will be there. He's crying too much. Send him quickly back to him, back to Godhead. Get him Krishna's darshan. But then we should not be just happy getting one darshan and stop crying. The child kept crying also, because we should keep coming again and again back in the queue. The child actually went out, but it's a way to keep coming again and again. So this is a small realization that need to practice or be reminded at times and intervals as we chant, as we cry out the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samvita Gaur Bhaktavinda ki jai.